We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to another very special episode of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. I'm joined by Justin Michael of the DNVR Rams and Brendan Vo of DNVR Nuggets. How's it going, guys?
Good to be back, man. Excited to keep talking rugby, excited to keep getting mocked by people online for my choices, and let's just keep this party rolling.
That's what it's all about, man. Brendan, how's it going, man?
Good, man. I'm locked in. I taught myself a lot about set, not that much actually, but a fair amount about sevens in the last week. I'm ready to rock.
Let's do it, man. That's good to hear. So if you haven't put it together, we're drafting a sevens team out of Nuggets players. This is one I'm particularly excited about. If you've seen the reaction to the CSU podcast that came out this week, we were kind of getting flamed up for drafting basketball players, which I think is bananas. Like, and so I wanted to take a second and read a tweet from our guy, Ben Pinkelman. He gave his thoughts on our CSU draft. Ben Pinkelman, of course, went to CSU, and he is a star for the USA Sevens team. You can catch him in the Olympics here in a couple of weeks. And he said, "I will say my favorite crossover athletes are from basketball and wrestling. Basketball for how they see and manipulate space and understand leave space, fill space concepts. Wrestling for their contact skills, fitness, and work ethic." So this Nuggets one should be fun. We don't have really an option. We have to draft basketball players this time, Justin.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see the reaction responded and you know, had a lot of praise to say about basketball players due to their, you know, space manipulation. I think everybody thinks, you know, football because of the physicality, because of the contact sport aspect. But I mean, if you watch the NBA or you watch college basketball, it's not like these guys are soft. You know, there's a ton of contact. They're really right. Phenomenal athletes, like some of the most explosive individuals on the planet. So I think it makes a lot of sense that basketball players translate really well on the rugby pitch.
Also, quick decision making, right? Like small windows, mm-hmm. Yeah. When passing, and it's like a sort of, you know, anyone who runs the floor well, who runs a quality fast break, you could see some of those skills translating. I am surprised to hear that, though. Like, you know, basketball players, very fluid athletes, but typically more on the lean to even kind of brittle side. Yeah. So I know the game changes a bit at sevens, but I'm surprised to hear that there's such, you know, there's crossover success there. Cause I always wondered how well those guys could take just a dead on hit.
You for know? Sure. And I think, you know, I'm going to be a broken record on this, on these snake drafts, sure. But with this XO team, a lot of the guys that have had a lot of success are guys with basketball backgrounds because, you know, like Ben Pinkelman said, the space manipulation, the ball handling, the contact is an issue for sure. It's something that they have to work on, something that they have to overcome. But, you know, I think it's honestly like a little bit easier to learn how to tackle somebody and take a hit than it is to, you know, have all the years of experience with those ball skills and all that stuff. So, and Vo, I must say, before I forget to mention this, you kind of birthed this idea. I don't know if you remember, you came on the DNVR Rugby podcast last April, I think, and we kind of went through this. I found an article. We went through their 15s team with NBA players. So, you know, get the idea kicked back up talking to Justin, and here we are. So thank you for that, Brendan.
It's fun, man. I remember that. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm stoked to be back, dude.
All right. So sevens, for those that don't know, again, I'll kind of go through the spiel. Seven players on seven players, 2 7-minute halves with a 14 or with a 2-minute halftime, played on a full-size rugby pitch. You need to be incredibly in shape. You need to be able to tackle. You need to be able to create mismatches, all that good stuff. That's why I think basketball is going to be it's going to be a good, you know, translation for this. So people that are looking to watch sevens, there's plenty of stuff happening, you know, over the course of these next couple of weeks. By the time this comes out, the Olympics will be right around the corner. So you can watch listen to this draft, watch the Olympics, see if you can understand what we're talking about with this translation and the crossover ability. This is all kind of in the spirit of the XOs, the whole crossover athlete thing. So we'll go ahead and jump into the draft. We drew numbers before we went live. So going first this time will be Justin, then it will be me, and then Brendan will wrap us around with the snake. So Justin, with the first overall pick in the Nuggets Rugby Sevens Team Snake Draft, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the Skywalker, David Thompson. One of the most explosive athletes to ever come through the Mile High City. Probably, I mean, there's a conversation for young J.R. Smith as well in that, but probably the best dunker to ever play for the Denver Nuggets. And obviously, I think I'm going to steal some brownie points when it comes vote time just for having that premier name on the roster. Yeah. And, you know, you got to think big picture here. I'm picking first in a snake draft, so it's going to be a while before I pick again. I got that foundational piece in David Thompson to just kind of build around.
Justin, I appreciate anybody that comes in here with the strategy, first of all. I think that's a great pick. Second of all, like you said, the explosiveness, you know, that's going to translate well in any type of contact sport. Anything that, you know, I have to explode through, that's a good pick.
You got two dogs.
That, guys. That's my dog in the background. Yeah. He loves David Thompson as well. Yeah, he was stoked about the pick coming in. Indy was like, if you can get the Skywalker, you better not mess this up. And he's proud of the pick as well.
So that's one vote already going for you. That's gonna become important here in a couple of weeks.
One of the most important ones too.
Yeah.
How often, if at all, does like vertical leap play into sevens? I know like in the kicking game it could come into play, but yeah, that's less prevalent in sevens.
Yeah,
right?
There's not much kicking in sevens. Like there's still, of course, you know, the line outs. There's not really like as many set piece, you know, jumping up in the air, lifting them up. But I think, you know, being that big and that long, like just even getting your hands and passing lanes and all that good stuff, kind of like basketball in a sense too, just being big creates problems. And you don't have to be huge to play sevens, but as with any contact sport, it certainly does help. So,
Brittany, and just general explosiveness, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're not necessarily going to have to jump through the building to be a good rugby player, but if you can jump 40 inches in the air, that's probably a good indicator of, you know, the type of leg strength that you possess. And I'm going to assume you do other things well.
Right. All right. I guess it's over to me now with my first pick. I'm going to take Allen Iverson. You know, wasn't a Nugget for very long, but somebody I really wanted on my team. Again, just nice with, he could do a little bit of everything. He can pass. And he also has a little bit of a football background too. I know we're talking basketball, but was an awesome football player in his time. So he's not afraid of contact. He knows how to run the ball.
I can't imagine tackling Allen Iverson in any sport.
No.
Like, I don't know how you're supposed to get two arms around that dude.
the word that comes to mind is like silky. Like, he's just so like smooth, man. Like, he's going to wiggle out of tackles. Mm. And he's got an attitude, so I know he's not going to be afraid to stick his nose in there when you need him to either.
That's man, you guys are killing me. Those are two of the picks I wanted right off the bat. They're not just the name recognition, but they're both, I think, actual conversion with right, the skill sets
for sure.
I mean, that speed, but I think you nailed it. It's also agility. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to you guys on the CSU draft. Sorry, my dogs are going nuts. I'll take care of this in a second.
It's okay.
But you were talking about how it's not necessarily just breakaway speed too, right?
Right.
And it's the agility, it's the changing of directions, manipulating of angles, and seeing that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And Iverson just sort of has that in spades and naturally too.
And he's a great facilitator as well when he wants to be. AI is not necessarily known for being a passer.
Pass first guy.
But he had the ability to, you know, create for his teammates. And I don't know, man. It just, can you imagine like Allen Iverson running around, you know, running the triple option or something, trying to guard that guy, trying to tackle him as he either pitches it out to his teammate or just jukes you and leaves you with broken ankles in the dust.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know he'd be good at it, but a big bonus is he would look awesome doing it too. And I need that nickname on my team.
Style points.
I need the answer. You know how it's just having a guy with the nickname, the answer on your team is a big plus too.
Going to sell t-shirts. There's tons of brand opportunities there. Are we concerned about work ethic and showing up for practice?
Practice. Yes.
I mean, I guess that's always in the back of your mind. But I know he's going to, Allen Iverson's proven that when the lights are the brightest, he'll show up. So I'll take him on my spot.
Fair point.
Take him on
my spot. It didn't hold him back in the NBA. So
no, he could, he could stay out. Isn't that like famous stories about him? He would stay out, he'd leave practice or whatever, and then come to shoot around the next day wearing the same clothes. So he just was lighting it up all night, and then he'd go and light it up on the court.
You know what? That just sounds like a gamer to me. That just sounds like a gamer.
It's all right.
Anything, that's going to be fun to drink with.
Before too. Brennan, before, yeah, again, another guy for the drink up afterwards. That's a huge part of rugby. And if anything, that's like even, speaks to his durability. He can stay out all night he'll be good to go in the morning time. So, Brennan, who you got for your first pick?
All right. I need star power. I'm going to go with Fat Lieber. I like, he was well sized for it, about 6'3, 6'4. They called him the one man fast break. So same sort of deal in terms of seeing the floor, reading angles, but also just wicked passer, wicked timing. Mm-hmm. I just think if he's streaking down the sideline, that's tough to stop. So I like Fat Lieber in this. He was one of my top picks. I think, I mean, to be honest, the three we went with here across the board were my top three.
Mm. That's a good sign. Fat Lieber's also going to steal the ball a lot for you too, which is important. Ooh, at sevens true. Also, like if he gets in there and stealing passes and stealing balls at the breakdown, he can rack up the steals, and you need that. Possession is so important in sevens. So if you got a guy that can get you the ball back, that's going to do you a lot of favors.
Nice. Along that same line of thought there for my second pick, I want a two-way guy, and I might be reaching here, but I'm going to go for Gary Harris. He played football at Michigan State.
He was on my list, man.
That's my guy. I got a Gary Harris jersey. I've been defending Gary Harris online, fighting everyone for 4 years.
Gary Harris might be better at rugby than basketball. It's hard to say.
The one thing working against him, I think, is his, like you said, he's kind of brittle. He's not the most durable guy of all time. He's always a little bit nicked up. So,
the lower body injuries. I thought about that. But he's stocky. He's built for it. He played football, so I'm sure he can take a hit.
Yeah, he played corner, too. That'd be, like, perfect for sevens, didn't he? Corner receiver.
I think he was a wide receiver, a receiver. But he might have played corner as well. Too. Sure. But obviously skills. We all think of Gary as a two-way guy, defensive prowess. So.
Yep, that's what lockdown defender. He's got good ball skills. That's tough, man. I really wanted Gary Harris. So that's a good pick. You got any thoughts on Gary Harris before we jump into my pick, Justin?
Just that I think it's a solid pick. He's one of those guys that was an underrated athlete. And I understand that, Gary had his flaws and he lost his jump shot for a while, but also just like a great locker room presence. You want that guy that's going to keep everyone together. That's Gary in a nutshell. So I like that as a strong foundational piece. You already got Fat Lieber, who's going to be kind of like your superstar. Now you got Gary Harris to kind of keep everybody together, keep everyone in line, just be a strong workhorse.
All right. So like I was mentioning earlier, I always make a couple of mock drafts that kind of tanked one of my mock drafts. So I'm going to go back to the well. I think with my second pick, I'm going to go Nick Van Exel.
Dang it.
Almost 8.5 assists per game. So I know he knows how to pass the ball. I know he could be a good facilitator, and that's what sometimes, I don't need him to make long runs and he can do it, but I know he's going to find the right man. He's going to find the open man. He's going to make good decisions with the ball. So I want Nick Van Exel on my team.
Man, that's good.
You get the attitude too.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. A little bulldog like Nick Van Deck. I'm reading a book about the Shaq Kobe Lakers right now. And there's a whole chapter on Nick Van Exel and just his abrasiveness and, kind of grew up me against the world mentality, which feels like it would be great on the rugby pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great point.
Big time. I'm very pleased with that pick. And I would have picked Gary Harris if you didn't take him, honestly, Brendan. I don't think that was a reach at all.
Let's go.
So that's good plan B. Justin, go ahead and make your second and third picks.
Oh man, I'm in shambles right now. A lot of foundational pieces just flying off the board. All right, I've stalled long enough. I'm gonna go Chauncey Billups. You know, the king of Park Hill.
Yep.
I need a facilitator. He's a little bit stockier. You know, I don't think he's gonna have any issues with the physicality. But again, I just want a leader.
That's a great pick. Obviously, good pick. I guess by the time this comes out, people will know I picked Chauncey Billups in the CU draft. So that, you know, he was on my CU team. He went through my mind. Would I be a hypocrite if I didn't draft him in the Nuggets draft as well? I guess that's to be determined. That's for the people to decide.
It's a great pick. It's also the CO rep, which is always wise in these exercises. Chauncey was my fat replacement if I couldn't get to him.
You can't really go wrong with either of those guys.
Yeah. It's a good pick.
Yes, that's a good pick, Justin. You want to give us your third round pick?
Yeah, here's where I struggle because there's still a couple of guys I'm targeting, but a lot of the guards that I really wanted are kind of off the board at this point. And I know that traditionally you don't really go height. Like, you know, I'm not going to take a 7'2" guy because I just don't think he's going to have the mobility for rugby sevens. But I am going to go a little bit bigger in the manimal, Kenneth Faried, because it's just all hustle, you know, all physicality. And I just think he's one of those guys that's going to be a fan favorite.
I had a feeling that, like, there was part of my brain that thought Kenneth Faried might slide. Like, he might just be forgotten about.
I thought I could pick him up late.
I had him on my mock. I had him at my 7th pick. I thought I could get him all the way at the end. And I obviously was very wrong. But just a ball of energy, a guy that's going to work. He's going to do the dirty work, right? The big part of rugby, like Pinkelman was saying, is work rate. You need guys that are, you know, going to keep going at back in the tackles again and again. They're going to go try and steal the ball. Like, they got to do the dirty stuff. They're going to get into rucks. Kenneth Faried would be like the perfect guy for that because he's just a big ball of energy. That's how he played basketball. Sprint up and down the floor, get the rebounds, get putbacks. That's a great pick.
Really good
nickname too.
Oh yeah,
you know, I want a couple of guys on the team. You got the answer. I got the manimal, which I can put that on t-shirts. You know, I can put that on posters around town. Got to think of the branding.
That is a good one. I guess for me, for my third pick, this is tough, man. This is tough. This is not going how I anticipated it was going to go. I think I'm honestly going to take Ty Lawson here.
Oh, you son of a gun.
Give me Lambo Lawson. That guy's super fast. Again, guy that can fill up the stat sheet in the assist category. I think he had 6.5 assists per game on average. So, you know, again, another. I just want guys with good decisions. They make good decisions on the basketball court. Ty Lawson didn't always make the best decisions off the basketball court. But
good clarification there.
When he's on the field, I know he's going to go the right place with the ball. So more with like the football ones, like the two college ones we've done, I've tried to get guys that are sure tacklers. I don't want my team to miss a lot of tackles with this one. I'm going with the guys that I think are going to make the best decisions with the ball in their hand. So that's why I'm taking Ty Lawson here. And he's super fast.
Yeah, that's the one, the speed, squirrely and well undersized for the NBA. Pretty well sized for sevens.
I think that's I'm sure you know. Vote. A lot of people, like small NBA players, are just still like giant humans, right?
Yeah, we really like forget the small guys. You know, like IT,
right?
Facundo Campazzo. These are guys we're at like eye level,
right?
But for the most part, even some of the guys we think of as small, Chris Paul, Steve Nash, you know, those types. Still, these are 6 feet tall guys, you know.
Justin.
I looked up Trae Young the other night because when I think of he looks so frail, he looks so scrawny. We're literally the exact same size. We're both 6'1", 180. And I was like, oh, that's what I would look like if I was standing next to a bunch of 6'10 dudes.
I was having lunch with people yesterday, and this was the day after that, you know, Giannis hit him in the face on that challenge on that three. And the way that Trae Young was like, you hit me in my face. You seriously looking up like straight up in the air.
Straight up.
And I was like, and you're 6'1". You're not a small person by any stretch of the imagination.
The biggest guys move so quickly that from a broadcast angle distance, you actually really can't comprehend. You can't give yourself the context for how big they are. If you're lucky enough to see a basketball game at lower level, then it dawns on you, like, these guys are freaks. Yeah. Every last one of them.
Yes. So That's my Ty Lawson pick. I'm kind of glad this went on this little tie
pick. I had that. I won as well.
Brendan, you're up for your next two.
Oh, by the way, important side note. My chair's broken, so if it sounds like I'm just ripping wind on your podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had, what, Chipotle or something?
Yeah, no. That's my chair. With you. That's my chair. All good. All right, two picks. You guys took both the guys I wanted there. I'm going to call back. I'm going to go to Jameer Nelson,
dude.
One of Jokic's OG, you know, true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Really unlocked a lot of stuff for Jokic. Great player, Jameer Nelson. Loved by teammates. High motor. Just a guy who's played hard since dating back to college. And again, similar thing. Like, we think of him as someone who sort of overcame size issues. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't really be a difference on this field or an issue on this field. Quick decision maker, stocky, and you like gamers. You were saying, Colton, you want guys who will take a hit and pop right back up, get back in there. That's Jameer to me. So I'm taking him.
That's a great pick, and regrettably was not even on my board. I knew there was going to be some people that kind of slipped through the cracks.
Sure.
Like, as I was going back through some of, you know, not the best eras in Nuggets basketball, he was for sure obviously one that slipped through the cracks, but I think that's a one I didn't think about until now, but that's an awesome pick. I think that's kind of a steal, honestly.
There's one more guard I want, but I feel pretty confident that this guy will slip through too. Bold. So I'm going to wait.
Bold.
And I'm going to take pretty much my only big guy on the board here. I'm going to take Aaron Gordon.
He was on my list.
That's
when healthy.
Aaron Gordon, that's a good pick.
I think in Denver, we saw him look more like a lumbering tight end with some like versatile utility than what he was in Orlando, which was more of a straight line, like breathtaking, jaw-dropping athlete. I wonder how much of that is this latest injuries from his entire career taking a toll. All the same, this guy is a little more fluid and explosive than we saw in Denver. I know he can take those grueling shoulder bumps. He's strong as hell. I really like Aaron Gordon in pretty much any athletic competition, so I feel good about this.
That's another good pick. He was one that was on my board, and like you said, I think maybe people don't look at him in that same light because of this very short stint in Denver right now. But again, kind of, you know, his Orlando time like gives me Kenneth Faried vibes a little bit, just of the way,
sure,
that, yeah, just a ball of energy, you know, jumping out of the gym, that will do you. And he's built like a freaking statue too, so that helps, dude. Also.
Like a Greek god.
Chiseled from stone. Man, I can go a lot of different directions here for this pick. Who do I want to take here? I don't have much size, but I think I want to take one more guard. Well, at least one more guard, and I'm going to take Nate Robinson.
I forgot about Nate Robinson.
I'm going to take Nate Robinson.
I had him on my list.
Another explosive guy, jumps out the gym. That's literally what the notes I had on him. Explosiveness.
He played football, right?
Yeah, and he was a good football. He played corner, right? He was the
one
that played corner.
That's right, he was the one.
At UW, wasn't it? At Washington?
That sounds right. I'm about to fact check. Yes, I think you're right.
Yes, please do that. So, again, another guy is not going to be afraid of the physicality. Good ball skills again, so I know he's going to catch the balls that come his way. He's going to have a good anticipation as well. So I'll take Nate Robinson there.
Did get knocked out by one of the Pauls, though.
You know, I forgot about that, but we're not boxing. We're not boxing. We're playing rugby. So as long as no punches start getting thrown, I think we'll be okay.
By the way, he was a corner. He was a corner in Washington. He was quite good, too. I did, yeah. The point, Nate Robinson's stonks are pretty low right now, though. I did forget
that. That I totally blocked that out of my mind. That makes me second guess that pick right there. I could have gone a couple different directions, and I went with Nate Robinson, who is not going to get the play for what happened recently, but I'll still take him for his basketball, for his basketball ability transition into rugby ability.
Fair.
Nice. Good pick.
Fair.
Justin, you're up.
All right, I guess I'm up for my two picks again. I don't know. I got kind of a weird configuration going right now size-wise, but I think I could use another guard, somebody a little bit quicker. I'm going to go back to the 90s and take Muhammad Abdul-Rauf.
I knew it. I knew you would.
He's very, at the time, I guess, was kind of controversial. It was like kind of Colin Kaepernick-esque in the way he took a stand against the national anthem, which I actually didn't realize. I went back and learned that kind of recently when I was doing research for this. So shout out to him for sticking to his principles. But beyond that, I need a facilitator. He's quick. He participated in the slam dunk contest. So that kind of shows some explosiveness that he possesses. And I need another facilitator. So that's where the reasoning goes there.
Everything I've read about him too is like addicted to practice. So I know that he would get the basic skills of rugby down very quickly. He would put himself, and he can put a ball through, you know, on target wherever he's aiming for really well. He's a great shooter. So I think he could do the same to rugby ball. He's probably pretty dialed in with that ball.
I would hope so.
You'd need him to.
I took him, right?
Yeah, so you need him to be dialed in.
I'm invested in him now. With my next pick, though, starting off the fifth round, we're kind of flying here.
I know, we're flying here.
I'm going to go Alex English. Maybe a little bit big at 6'7". But a great athlete, another guy who moved well. And again, I think I'm going to steal some brownie points when it comes voting time for having him and David Thompson on the roster and Chauncey.
I'm a little surprised that he went this late in a way.
Me too.
Because, I mean, until Jokic plays basketball for a couple more years, he's like a top of all the Nuggets like statistical leaders pretty much.
He's the GOAT, right? Yeah, unless you're a big mellow stan.
Yeah. I'm you know,
which is not me,
personally. Either. So
yeah,
I'm not tipping picks.
I'm a mellow
here,
guy. I'll put it out there. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I wouldn't have liked the Denver Nuggets if it wasn't for Carmelo.
That's true.
Anthony.
I'm on.
So
that.
He's always gonna have a soft spot in my heart in that regard.
I'm on that boat too right now. Like I appreciate what he's done. And again, like that was the first Nuggets jersey I had. I had a mellow jersey that I would used to wear to Friday Night Live every Friday night at the Rec Center. But you know. I cannot like him for now. Once it's time to celebrate, I'll be there celebrating with him. But
I just got to catch myself, guys, just in case I get destroyed for this. Jokic is at this point 2 first team All NBAs, MVP, second team. Jokic, it's no longer longevity. He's probably the GOAT Nugget. But to your point, Alex English was absolutely that guy.
No, like I said, just as the few more years go by and he pads those stats a little bit more, it'll be absolutely no debate at all. But I agree with you, Brendan. He's well on his way. But, you know, one of the big things with Alex English is minutes played, man. Like that guy could chew up some minutes and you need somebody that's going to play a lot of minutes and not, you know, not be looking to the sideline, tapping their head, take me out. Alex English
What's the sub deal inside? Like how frequent? You know what I mean? Like if you're a starter, are you out? How much of the game are you out there for?
It depends. It's very like strategic. Like there's two guys on the USA Sevens right now, Carlin Isles and Perry Baker. Like those guys are just like pure speed. So like sometimes one of them will play first half, the second one will come on and play second half. So it's just like, it's basically it's very strategy based, not necessarily, you know, I'm dead tired, but I guess it just kind of depends on what you're trying to do. But I think, I don't know off the top of my head if there's like a cap. Like I think the Sevens rosters are so very small. Like I don't know if it's you can only sub 3 or whatever.
Sure.
And maybe that's a bad look for me, but that's just not.
But it's not like you're changing this every point.
No, yeah, it's not like hockey lines. It's not like you go play a 30-minute or a 30-second shift and then you come off and we put a fresh guy on. So
gotcha.
Yeah, once you're out, you're out. Unless it's of course like a blood sub or something.
So conditioning is king here.
Oh yeah, huge, huge. I know Nate Ebner is a guy that played for the Patriots, plays for the Giants currently. He played in the last Olympics on the USA Sevens team. He was trying to make it this year, but had some surgery after the Giants season, and the timetables aren't going to align, so he just pulled out this last week. But he's gone on record saying that training, like trying to be fit enough to make it on the Olympic Sevens team, was the hardest thing he's ever done. Like harder than NFL training camp, harder than, you know, winning a Super Bowl, like all that stuff. Like getting fit enough to play sevens in the Olympics was the hardest thing he's ever done.
Man,
I believe it, man. These guys are beasts.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of goes to Pinkelman's point with like the wrestling aspect of it, because you got to be crazy in shape to wrestle.
Great cardio, yeah.
Well, I mean, most guys are either getting rocked by grown men or covering miles in a sprint. And in sevens, you're really doing both
doing both of them.
I'm not sure any other sport can claim that.
I need to see, you know, the Travis Haugen here at the Colorado XOs. He's like the data guy. And he's fed me some pretty interesting numbers about, you know, data from 15's matches of this guy's running 7 miles or something like that. Like, I'd be super interested to see some of the GPS tracker information on the backs of these guys playing sevens. That'd be crazy.
I have one more sevens question for you. Does the U.S. typically do better in sevens than traditional rugby?
Yeah, and that's a great question because the athletes here are kind of like tailor-made for sevens. And sevens really has just been getting popular again in the last 10 years because it got re-added to the Olympics. Like, I remember getting into rugby in like 2010, 2011. That was like a big selling point, was like, this is going to be in the Olympics soon. And, you know, as there's more opportunity and stuff for it, of course, like the USA just getting better and better there. I think very realistically, the women's team should medal this year and the men's team should make a serious run at a medal. So it's a perfect time to get into rugby, which is why I'm glad we're doing this. We're talking about the crossover because it's going to be super fun to watch once we get into the Olympics here in a couple of weeks.
Cool. I'm pumped for the Olympics to be back. Just like a little side note, rugby is going to be awesome, but just the Olympics as a whole, you know, getting to see, like, I'm looking forward to watching Monte and Faku and some of these guys. Right. It's going to be a good time.
I've had a good time even watching some of these qualifiers. Like, I know that, like, a bunch of the track and field stuff's been on this week. Like, waiting for the NHL and the NBA playoffs to start. I've been flipping around and I'm watching some people run the, you know, 1500. I'm watching some triple jump. I just like watching this stuff. I don't get to see that much.
Sure.
USA, baby.
And it's like, on one hand, it's probably going to be a mess, a little bit rushed, probably ill-advised, totally, the whole operation.
Yeah.
On the other, once it's here, I'm going to be probably easy for me to say as not an athlete, but glad that they rushed it. It's kind of cool. The world is waking back up again, or at least in the States, it feels like we're close.
Right.
And I don't know, man, I'm excited to get into something like this. That's sort of like, oh yeah, like living life, like normal life, being excited about sports and community and all that stuff.
And the cool thing
about these guys just have such small windows. Like, as nervous as I am for the complications that could come from this, and that's a very realistic fear. Like, when you realistically have one Olympics, maybe two if you're lucky, to kind of leave your mark, just because they're only every 4 years. Like, it's easy for us to say they shouldn't have them, when some of these people are like, I've been training for 5 years for this.
Yeah, and this could very well be my only shot to go. Right, like you were saying, if you can just catch the window wrong. You know, the 8 years pass and you're already well into your 30s, and it's even that much harder to compete with a 24-year-old that's been given this all since, you know, they were 20.
So, what a lifestyle.
And the cool thing about the sevens team too is there should, you know, obviously the team hasn't been selected. I think the men's team is selected on July 2nd. But there should be two Colorado guys. Spain Pinkelman should make the team. He competed in the last one. He's in the World Cup, so he's kind of like a centerpiece of the core that the sevens team has been building. And then Cody Melfi's another guy, went to Heritage High School down in Littleton. He didn't make the sevens team, the Olympic team, last time around, but he's, you know, 28, entering the prime of his athletic career. So he's another guy that could be on the sevens team as well. So could have two Colorado guys to root for too.
That's awesome. That's great.
And this all started with Justin's pick of Alex English. So I guess it's back to me now. Good pick with Alex English, Justin.
If I was going to say, where are we in the draft?
I'm taking notes. Don't worry. I'm taking notes here. So I guess it's back to me. I have no size on my team, really. So
I'm going to be able to keep up with you, though. You got AI, Ty Lawson, and Nate Robinson. And it's not like Van Exel.
And when I say size, I don't have any trees. Like, you know, I need at least one bigger guy. And
do you have Fareed, or is that Justin?
That's Justin. Justin has Fareed. That was Justin. So, yeah. I'm strictly, I'm Allen Iverson, Nick Van Exel, Ty Lawson, Nate Robinson right now.
So you're kind of small, dude. You're small.
I'm quick, though. So I need to take at least a big guy, and I want a big guy with some attitude, so I'm going to take Kenyon Martin.
Great. I was going to suggest
that was going to be my seventh round pick.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kenyon Martin. Just give me a bulldog. Give me a guy who'll he'll hit you, and then he'll let you know that he hit you. Some more attitude on my team.
Is fighting allowed in rugby?
No.
That's something you might have to budget for.
It happens, and then, like, it's like hockey where there'll be, like, the tussles, and it's just kind of like, yeah, hey, guys, stop. Like, once they separate it, it's like, okay, we're good. We kind of worked it out. Obviously, you can't just haul off and punch somebody in the face. You'll get kicked out for that. But, you know, there's some tussling that goes on, and I want Kenyon Martin on my team for that.
It's a good pick. My one concern would be if an errant elbow hits Kenyon or something, he's throwing a punch.
Every time.
But you're right. You got the size, you got the attitude, you got a guy who's not afraid of the nature of the game, I would imagine. I like that pick.
You know, if,
is he cardio wise? Is that a concern? I mean, you got four guys that are going to be burners, so I guess you can kind of use them to offset his lack of movement.
Yeah, that could be a concern, but I'm hoping that we can get Kenyon Martin in a daily training environment, and we can get his heart beating the way it should be.
I like it,
Brendan. Back to you for 5 and 6.
I'm going to take RJ Hampton very briefly at Denver Nugget. Very briefly. maybe the fastest top speed Nugget. I don't know about if he's quite as shifty, you know, as the answer or Ty Lawson, but when he breaks out into a full sprint, look, there's a bit of a stretch. He was drafted by the Nuggets. I'm taking it. This guy, that dude is dynamic. Like if he hits a superstar kind of thing, which is a big if, but like that's the Russell Westbrook cloth. You know what I mean? Of just like, where did that guy go and how is he still going? So I want that on my team.
One thing you have working in your favor with RJ Hampton too, is he did play basketball for a year in New Zealand. So he has some familiarity. He has to have some familiarity with rugby.
Like he might know that he doesn't want to do it, that he's not cut out for it at all. Yeah,
but if he really tried and put his mind to it, he could be good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's hard to catch, so that helps. And now I'm stuck, man. This is 6. I get one more.
Yeah,
right?
This is 6 for you.
Kind of a weird pick. I'm gonna take Torrey Craig.
He was on my list.
Who I think just really tough guy. Prone to getting his face busted up for absolutely no reason. So if he's got to stick some cotton swabs up there, like
tampons.
He's been there before, right?
Yeah, that's what that was the trick when I broke my nose playing rugby. They shoved tampons in my nose.
He's tough. He's strong. He's a good. He's a good defender. I'm not sure how that translates, but I'm going to take that as a point for myself anyway. And then offensively, you know, the lack of skill. maybe that can be mitigated a bit by just being athletic, which he is. That pops way more when he's playing in the G League than the NBA. But he's actually quite athletic. I think Torrey Craig would be a sneaky good rugby player.
I agree with you because his numbers may not be there, but he's another guy that's like the work rate's there. He's gonna do he's gonna do the dirty work for you, and you need guys like that. You need guys like Torrey Craig to stick their nose in there and try to steal you the ball back so that you can give it to, you know, RJ Hampton, and he can just do the rest of the work, right?
Right.
So he was on my list. That was one I was, you know, contemplating taking closer towards the end, but that's a good pick.
All righty. Yeah. Back to you guys. I got one left.
Back to me, I guess. Give me J.R. Smith here.
I forgot about J.R.
Give me J.R.
He's on my list, too. I'm looking right now.
Here's the notes I had on J.R. Smith, why I think he'd be good at rugby. Explosive. He had some of, like, arguably the best dunks in Nuggets history, recent Nuggets history, at least. Give me that 360 dunk. Like, give me all those crazy dunks. So, again, he can jump out of the gym. He's explosive. And he's not going to think too much. I don't know. I don't want a guy that's thinking a lot. I want a guy that's going to get the ball and just run. You know, we have the image of LeBron being like, "What are you doing, J.R. Smith? Shoot the ball, man." So he's not going to think that much, but that's okay. But just give him a ball, let him run, let him make tackles. And he's not afraid to take risks. That guy jacked up a lot of threes, so I know that you know, he might roll the dice and try to shoot a gap that maybe he shouldn't shoot. And, you know, sometimes it's going to pay off and sometimes it's not. So I'll take J.R. Smith with my 6th pick.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
I'm surprised he slid this far, to be honest.
Me too. I mean, there are other hyper athletes, you know?
Yeah.
And like JR, how does JR take a hit? That's a question. That question extends to RJ Hampton as well, but it's there for JR.
Honestly, for a lot of the basketball guys, like, how are they going to respond? Yeah. The contact piece of it, we can teach that. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's get them out there running around, passing the ball. We'll see what happens. Justin, you're up.
Oh, man. It's my last 2 picks. Yep. Big pressure. All right. Let's see. I got David Thompson, Chauncey Fareed, Muhammad Abdulrauf, Alex English. I'm going to go with the 6th-round pick. I'm going to go Monte Morris. Great facilitator, great team player. I think he'd be able to take a hit. He just seems kind of tough. Like, I don't foresee that being an issue for him.
I like that.
I'm just a big Monte Morris guy. I think most of Denver is at this point. But how do you not love a guy like that?
incredibly efficient too. He's not going to turn the ball over a lot, and he's going to make the right decision more often than not. So that's a good pick too, I think.
Maybe the anti J.R. Smith, if we're kind of comparing like mindsets.
Yeah. And both can be beneficial, I think. You know, both can play their roles.
I think you're, yeah. Now, this is where I struggle, because like I could take I could go for brand name with the last pick and just take Nikola Jokic, even though I don't know if he is going to move. Like, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's sevens, and Jokic is not going to fit into that. But I might just steal votes simply from having him on the roster. But I'm going about this with integrity. I've built the roster with strategy so far.
Yes.
I'm going to go Andre Miller.
Damn. Dude, I knew it. I was going to guess that. I knew it.
He was on my list too. That's tough. Old man game for sure.
That's what I was like. Does the old man YMCA game, like, is there an old man rugby game?
Oh yeah. That's the old boys, man. Like if you go to any tournament, like you'll have like a senior division, they call them the old boys. So Andre Miller would light up the old boys tournament for sure. I think there's value in the saucy passes and the smart, you know, act like you're going to do something else. Like a lot of dummy lines, dummy passes, all that stuff. He was on my list, and I think I was seriously considering taking him with my next pick here.
So we should clarify, there's a big difference between like 2004 Andre Miller and 2013.
Yes,
Andre
Miller. The second stint. The second stint's the one that sticks in my brain, unfortunately.
He blocked Dirk at one point, and it was like 2005 or 2006. Nuggets were playing at the Mavs. It was like a Sunday afternoon game. I don't know why this sticks out in my memory so much. I guess it's just because it was so random. Dirk. Like, did Andre just block Dirk?
Who were some guys that Nate Robinson blocked? Nate Robinson blocked some huge guys too.
Yao Ming, that's the famous one.
Yeah, he blocked some big guys too. So, and I remember Andre Miller, like I was not like a huge Andre Miller guy that, 57 win Nuggets year, many games they won. Then they got worked by the Warriors, but he did hit that game winner. He hit the game winner in the game one of that Warriors series. It was like a layup. I think they kissed it off the glass with a couple seconds to play. And without that win, they would have got swept. They lost that series 4-1.
Dude, he's a great, like, people may have only seen Andre Miller for certain slices of his career, but the total body of work, like that was a solid, solid NBA career. He was a great player.
I think
also one of the best college basketball players of you know, the late 1990s. Those Utah teams were really, really good. And that's kind of my brand, right? I'm one of the college sports guys, so I got to stay true to that.
And I think Andre Miller, the way he played basketball, he might save his body too, honestly, in rugby, just because he is crafty and he knows, you know, I can take it in this far and then pass it over here and I won't get hit and save my body a little bit, you know, wear and tear. So he might have that going for him too. Okay, man. I guess this is back to me for my last pick. This is tough. I'm honestly pretty happy with the team that I've put together. And I think with my last pick, let's make sure he's not taken. I don't know. I got a stall here. I don't know what I want to do. I'm taking Jamal Murray. You know, Circus does. I think of that spinning layup. I think, you know, change hands in there. He's another guy can handle the ball. Another explosive guy can run a little bit. I'm going to take Jamal Murray here. Bigger two.
I don't know if I see him taking hits though. You're going to definitely get votes. And he's a great athlete. I love Jamal. Got his jersey.
He would get – he'll get up every time. Yeah. Like, whether his body can handle it or not, fine. But he'll get up every time.
Another guy, I like his attitude. He's not scared of anybody. I want that on my team. With what we're working with here, I'm happy. I'm very happy with Jamal Murray at 7.
Well, in playing with Nick Van Exel and Allen Iverson, it's inevitably going to take his – and Kenyon Martin, it's inevitably going to take his chippiness to a new level, because just being – I mean, your roster, like, hopefully you guys don't get kicked out of the league, because you're going to be starting fist fights and, like, talking trash, and it's going to be excellent.
But I would much rather have that team than a team that's just going to, you know, take it.
We're not taking any. Like,
we're not taking – exactly. We're not taking any of this stuff. I'm very pleased with the team I put together. Brendan, give us Mr. Irrelevant. We'll go through everyone's team, and then we'll go through some honorable mentions.
Mr. Irrelevant, one of the more slept on electrifying dunkers of the 90s. A bit of a Google job for some. I can't claim to have seen him much. I'm going to take the Pac-Man, Robert Pack. And if you don't know, Google him. This man is jacked. This man can jump. This man had speed. Some injuries cut his career a little short. But like literally just Google image him. And yeah, he's cut out for it. Like this is a really strong, you know, guard size guy. And he can run a little bit. So I don't think I'm going to get many, like there aren't a lot of pack stands out there, you know, but I think he's going to actually be good at the game.
I appreciate that. But you had a strategy, like you put thought into it. You did your research and that's, I appreciate that, Brendan. Thank
for
you.
For sure, man.
He's got Jimmy Butler guns, this. Man. Look at these biceps.
Yeah, show this. He's jacked.
Yeah, I might have to pull up a quick Google search too. The, you know. All right, guys. I how are you guys feeling with your teams? I'll go ahead and read them off. So for Justin, we've got David Thompson, Chauncey Billups, Kenneth Reed, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Alex English, Monty Morris, Andre Miller. I've got Allen Iverson, Nick Van Exel, Ty Lawson, Nate Robinson, Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, Jamal Murray. Brendan's got Bat Lever, Gary Harris, Jameer Nelson, Aaron Gordon, R.J. Hampton, Torrey Craig, and Robert Pack. How you guys feeling off with your teams?
Man, I love my squad. I don't think, like, you know, the name recognition's, I think, lowest for me. Like, I think I would pick up the least amount of casual voters. But if someone were to try to engage in the exercise, like, I think I have a, like, a well-balanced, like, this roster looks the part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have the best Orlando Magic Sevens team, too.
That's right. Holy shit, I didn't even realize that.
With Gary Harris, Jameer Nelson, Aaron Gordon, RJ Hampson, you just rattled off four.
I literally just great Magic. Magic players.
All you needed was Evan Fournier, and you would have had a starting right. Five.
Can I get Howard. Young Shaq, too, while
yeah.
We're at it?
Yeah, Young Shaq, Penny Hardaway. Dude, that's dude, a stellar that's team. That kid. just running through that. I'm honestly very happy with my team. I'm kind of not loving my Kenyon Martin pick the more I think about it. Mm. In the moment, I was a fan, but he just, you know, maybe he's not going to fit that well. But like you said, my team's going to be some mean bastards for sure.
I'm a little like worried it. About my speed. I don't know if I've got guys to kind of take those tries on the outside.
Yeah.
I might need Kenneth Faried to kind of just run like a bulldog and see if people can like bring him down.
Honestly, yeah, you could get away with playing some bully ball. Like you might end up having to beat teams like 15 to 10 or something. But
yeah, mm-hmm.
A win's a I'll win, right? Win's yeah. On the schedule. Do you guys want to get into some honorable mentions? Justin, did you have any that kind of slipped through the cracks here?
Yeah, there just a couple. I thought Jalen Rose had a decent chance of going mm-hmm. just because he's a pretty good athlete. But then again, it's like he's 6'8", so it's a tough frame. Obviously, you know, Carmelo Anthony just because of name recognition.
Do you think we're going to get flamed up for not drafting Melo? Like you think?
I think somebody, especially if they don't listen to the podcast and like actually how we're building these rosters and explaining it, which as we saw with the CSU, there yeah, are plenty of those people who are just going to look at the graphic and respond. But
I didn't I don't even know have
if he's
him
a sevens
my,
guy.
No, I didn't have him on my board. I wouldn't even take him if we were playing 15s, honestly, because Melo is like the antithesis of rugby, right? Like he's everything that you shouldn't be in rugby. He's not going to play good defense. He's not going to pass the ball very much. He'll play a lot of minutes, I guess, but you know, is he going to do the stuff you actually yeah. need him to do?
Mm.
I really wanted to take Gallo.
Gallo, yeah.
I thought he might be a little bit too big. I mean, Gallo could move pretty 2013 Gallo could move really well. You know, he could run, he could dunk, he was exciting. This current Gallo is a much different player.
He's so stiff, man.
Yeah, it's honestly
he
hard to
nice
watch.
Little,
I feel bad for
breakaway
him.
Dunk the other night, and he started giving him the chest point as he's running back. Like
he cracks me up, man.
Love the rooster.
And then just JaVale McGee and Marcus Camby, who I think are too big,
yeah.
but are good enough athletes to where I consider just for their defensive prowess. You know, right. They can move a little bit better than Jokic. Same with Mutombo. Like, all these guys are dominant athletes. I don't see them translating in sevens.
Would we have been allowed to take Spencer Haywood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so.
I was good.
If we can take RJ Hampton.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I stretched it pretty thin.
Yeah,
so.
I he was on my list. Just I was, you know, going through the Spencer Haywood hits, and he had a 19. I think I wrote it down. It's something like almost 20 rebounds per game, like that one season with the Rockets in the ABA. So
That's why I almost took Dan Issel, because it's like kind of a similar toughness, kind of revered for that. But again, it was like in 15s, I think Issel probably has a spot to be rough and tough. But in 7s, I was just like, I'm going to take Fareed if I'm taking a big guy because I want somebody that can move.
Yeah, I agree. He was on my list too. Antonio McDice, he chewed up some minutes also. I think he would have been good for that. LaFonso Ellis, another guy on my list that didn't get drafted. So we might take some heat for that, but that's kind of it. Everybody else, like I was very serious. I didn't think that. I thought Kenneth Fareed would slip. I thought guys like Torrey Craig, I didn't think he would get drafted. He was on my list too. So this draft really did not go the way that I had envisioned it going. And that's what I like. I'm here for the chaos, man.
I have my alternates are weird. I think you guys. So how about the ultimate reclamation project in Emmanuel Mudiay? Who had the physical profile to make it in the NBA, never quite worked. To this date, hasn't quite worked out.
Right. He was on my list too. Like when I was going through last minute preparations, I was like, should I put Emmanuel Mudiay on?
Speaking of Emmanuel Mudiay, literally, I got one of those horrible like Facebook memories. That's like, look at one of the embarrassing things you posted like 6 years ago or whatever. On this day in 2015, a young Justin Michael posted, the Nuggets absolutely killed it with the Emmanuel Mudiay selection. Oof. Always been a Lawson supporter, but it's time to move on. So I was half right. It was time to move on, but they did not kill it with the Mudiay selection.
We've come a long way, guys. Dark times.
Mudiay put Steph Curry in a blender one time, I think. It was like his first or second year, and I was at the game, and I was like, this guy's going to be awesome, and then he just wasn't. I could see the transition to rugby though for sure.
He is like a specimen. Yeah. So I think I could see that. The other guy, if I was going for defense, hard nose trash talker, defensive specialist Dante Jones, I was gonna take.
That's a good one.
But then Aaron Aflalo, just because he's like guard size.
Yeah.
Aaron Aflalo, even in basketball, kind of boring. Just kind of a boring prospect. So I left him up.
It's not. Yeah, sevens is like the rugby's electrifying, you know, version. So boring, maybe not work, but boring's not always bad too. Aaron Aflalo made a nice career, you know.
He did great for himself. I mean, his story is great. I've just like never found him that appealing one way or another.
Belichick, right? That's what people called him.
That's it.
I think that's all the honorable mentions I had. I just wanted to include this, like, if you guys had some time and would like to get into it for a quick second here, like expanding to the greater NBA, like I told Vote this when we did the show last year, I think PJ Tucker would be literally like the perfect rugby player. Oh. Every time I watch him play, I'm like, this guy is a freaking monster. Like even still now, what is he, 36? I'd still take him on my team. PJ Tucker is like the prototypical rugby player in the NBA for me, honestly.
So true, man. He would love it. Like he would relish all those aspects about it that other players wouldn't be able to make that transition.
I take Patrick Beverley. He could be a good scrum half just because he's annoying. Like that's what you have to be to play scrum half. Just a pest, bother people like nobody's business. And
Pete Russell Westbrook might honestly be like a gold, like a medal caliber Olympic sevens player if he was dedicated.
So angry.
Russell Westbrook's game's all hustle and, you know, getting up and down the floor, and he's again another bulldog type. There's another one that's coming at the top of my head, but I'm just slipping my mind at the time too. Justin, you have any?
I'll think of Kawhi Leonard maybe, just because he's such a freak athlete. Like it's just, we talked about that with the CSU one. Somebody like Capri Bibbs, somebody that's just going to be stronger, you know, more physical than you. Kawhi, when I think of when he's healthy, at least, you know, Kawhi can be as dominant defensively as it gets. I love his presence. What about Earl Boykins? Is he too small?
He was strong though.
Maybe, but like I said, being like what's Earl Boykins' measurables right now?
5'6".
That might be a little too small.
It's a little small.
You don't need to be huge, but like Jerry Tawai, he's the Fiji captain. Let me like look up how big this guy is. He's a pretty little guy. I was looking this up the other day.
Boykins had like an inhuman capacity for the bench press though. Like he was a ludicrously strong guy for his size.
So if you want to look this guy up, Jerry Tuai, Jerry JerryTuwai. I think he won Sevens Player of the Year last year. He's like Fiji's best player. He's 5'7", 179, but he's also built like he's built out of bricks. Like he's just a little like fire hydrant.
A little stocky guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think those be kind of my stereotypical, picks for the NBA. That's who I'd want to see. I think
one guy I'm curious about it is LeBron, because like LeBron became about embellishing and flopping pretty quickly in his career.
Right.
Which I hate, but I actually still am pretty confident LeBron could in fact take a hit. Like if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. he's LeBron. If he hits the floor and holds his head, he gets a flagrant, and he eventually started to take advantage of that. But he was also once a great high school recruit in football. Basically Herculean sized, you know what I mean? Like that, he's just the perfect size and strength kind of meet in the middle thing. So his capacity,
seven calves, LeBron dunking from the free throw line.
Yeah, like, dude, like
he's going to dominate.
He's a freak. The question would be, am I right? Is he cut out for it?
Yeah.
Mentality wise.
And who knows? Cause I think maybe rookie year LeBron might've been, but now who knows, man? But
that's not just, LA LeBron. No way, dude.
That's the age old question.
He's hard to watch.
If LeBron
played, I'm a big LeBron guy.
If LeBron played soccer, how good would the USA be at soccer? If LeBron played hockey, like
I know, man. I do think about it a lot.
Yeah, me too.
What about John Wall?
Yeah, I could see John Wall. There's another I don't know. I had it in my brain and it just is gone, man. Like I feel like there's one more guy.
Yeah, this is probably where I help you out, but
I'm that's okay. Too. It's Friday.
Russ would be Friday. Honestly, I think if we were doing seven, if I could take one athlete from the NBA and take them and put them on like a USA Sevens roster, it would be peak Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russ.
I just think he's the guy.
Yeah, he'll fight you too.
Strong as hell. Like it's the explosion, it's the speed, the strength, but then also just the like, oh, I need to get to point B. There's a bunch of people in my way. I am just gonna put my head down and go. Yeah.
I think, you know, that we've built pretty good teams here. I think our all NBA sevens team's pretty good too. I would take that on the world stage as well. Just give us a year or two to practice, give them in some little local tournaments, take them up to Aspen or something and have them run train up there. That would be quite the scene. So that's all I got, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Brendan, you want to go ahead and plug where people can get a hold of you and what you're up to now that the season's over?
First, thanks for having me, man. This was fun. I'm also definitely like bug me when there's that Olympic schedule. If there's a good game that day or the next day, like please hit us up. I want to watch.
I want to see if we can get something going at the bar. I think that'd be fun if we just had some sevens on for a Saturday or something like that.
And then second housekeeping note, Justin, I think other than maybe some goaties, this might be the first podcast we've done together at DNVR.
I think so. Maybe like the DNVR sports pod at one point. This is fun though. I'm moving down to Denver next week, actually. So I'm going to be around a lot more to bug
Let's
you.
Go, dude. I need more Justin in my life. So this is a good start. But you can follow me at Brendan Vogt. That's V as in Victor OGT. Follow at DNVR _Nuggets. We just had our big off season content meeting last week. So we know what we want to do. We know what we're doing and there's going to be plenty coming. So stay tuned.
I love that you guys haven't done a podcast. I mean, maybe like you said, the offshoot, this is the rugby bringing people together. That's what it's all about.
Look at that, man. Yeah, dude.
And then Justin, if you want to give your promo your stuff, where can people find you? What are you working on? Football's coming up. I can't wait. I hate summer.
Yeah, it's definitely the you know, dead of off season when it comes to college football. And it's been particularly unique just given that CSU is coming off of a year where they only got to play four games, one at home. So it's really, I mean, you got to go back to 2019 since I've had like consistent action to talk about. And so I'm just so excited to have college football back, the fans, knock on wood, a full 12 game schedule. Like it's going to be awesome. But follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Michael. You can do the same on Instagram. Also at DNVR _Rams. I'm the man behind the mask there, as Brendan is for the Nuggets. So we got big things coming up. I'm working on preview stuff. I'm actually diving into CSU's schedule right now. I'm doing a lot of research on their opponents. Just, you know, like, it's so weird. Like, how do you look at a COVID season and take legitimate takeaways when some teams played three games, some teams played 10 games? So I'm kind of having to change how I view some of this stuff, looking at winning percentage over like a couple year period and kind of trying to take the average and all that. But it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I got, you know, this is my life now. The Colorado XO season's over. I know they are reporting back, I think, in August, so I've got to fill some time, and I'm very thankful for Brendan and the other fine folks at DNVR jumping on with me drafting the Sevens team. It's been super fun, so we'll just keep cranking these out, and the best way to keep up with all that is follow along at DNVR _Rugby. Other than that, that's the show, guys. Thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure, boys.
Thanks for having us.